Where are you going? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
In 1 week, the President of the United States has had a credible rape charge against him. And that didn't make the front page of the New York Times when it first came out.
What is...
typical week, five or six things like this can happen.
Yeah.
Offenses to... democracy, offenses to the truth, and it's all done cynically. And that, remember that word we all used to use in the beginning? We have to be very careful of normalizing Donald
right.
Trump. Well, mission accomplished.
New Yorker editor and presidential biographer David Remnick brings us a reminder. The Trump presidency creates a daily avalanche of news, breaking norm after norm. A reminder of just this past month. The president began June with a state visit to the United Kingdom, denying that he called Meghan Markle nasty and responded to criticism from London's mayor Sadiq Khan by calling him terrible and a stone-cold loser. He then claimed thousands in London's streets protesting him were actually there to support him. From there, the president went to Normandy, and while sitting in a cemetery of America's fallen heroes, he attacked Robert Mueller and added this about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I think she's a disgrace. She's a nasty, vindictive, horrible person. Nancy Pelosi's a disaster, okay? She's a disaster. She is a terrible person, and I'll tell you, her name, it's Nervous Nancy, because she's a nervous wreck.
Back in Washington on June 12th, Trump spoke to ABC News and said this when asked about potentially taking political dirt from a foreign power during the 2020 election.
If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on your opponent. Oh, I think I'd want to hear it.
You want that kind of interference in our elections?
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
Trump officially launched his re-election campaign the third week of June, and by that Friday was in a high-stakes showdown with Iran over a U.S. drone being shot down. The Pentagon was reportedly within minutes of launching a military assault before the president changed his mind. The president of the United States was also accused of sexual assault by writer E. Jean Carroll and responded that he'd never met her, despite this photo showing the two of them together. Lawyers have characterized the alleged attack as rape. Trump told reporters, quote, "She's not my type." And facing allegations of migrant children at the border held in deplorable conditions, the president blamed Democrats for a lack of funding and Barack Obama for creating his own family separation policy. June ended with a trip to the G20, where Trump smiled while telling Vladimir Putin not to interfere in the 2020 elections. Trump then tweeted an invitation to North Korea's dictator to meet him at the DMZ for a handshake, and then went there, shook Kim Jong-un's hand, and stepped onto North Korean soil.
Tonight, the bromance is back on between President Trump and his pen pal Kim Jong-un. The North Korean dictator was photographed reading a new letter from President Trump over the weekend, a letter Kim's news agency says was of, quote, excellent content. Today, the president appeared to confirm that letter, as well as one he says he received from Kim just a few days earlier.
Glorious peoples, I have received a letter of most excellent content from human kimchi Donald Trump. Here is a photo of me reading the letter. Yes, I am wearing all white, which is fine, because in North Korea, every day is Labor Day. I know the letter is truly from him because every I was dotted with a tiny hamburger. I will read it to you now. My dearest Chairman Kim, how's your summer? Have you made any more lube? My summer is going great. I'm thinking about starting a war with Iran. Lol. Then the next 14 pages is just him bragging about how long the letter is. I will now send back a response using a North Korean carrier pigeon.
Our president is making some frenemies this summer. At the White House today, Trump hosted the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, with whom he's had a somewhat contentious relationship. You know you have a hothead president when you have to defuse tensions with Canada, but Trudeau arrived in an Uber, as you can see. Meeting went well, I guess. Trump hasn't threatened to build a wall on the northern border, so the president is having a bigly and busy week this week. He launched his re-election campaign in Orlando, and he made the cover of Time magazine. In the interviews, Trump says, my whole life is a bet. And yes, and right now the White House is running about as smoothly as one of his bankrupt casinos. Trump chatted with Time for about an hour. He had a lot to say. He again made the claim that no one in history has been treated as unfairly as he has. He said he's done more in 2.5 years than any president ever. He actually had someone bring him a list of his accomplishments. He had 72 bullet-pointed accomplishments, which ranged from won the election to saved a turkey's life at Thanksgiving. Trump was on Fox News last night, being lathered with love by Sean Hannity. And among other things, the president boasted about the size of the crowd at his kickoff rally.
It was like being at a world championship college football game where the score was tied going into the last minute. It was the entire rally. It was an incredible scene. And outside, there were thousands of people. And, I mean, we were asking people not to show up. We were saying, please don't come, letting the word out, because we had 121,000 people.
By the way, we searched everywhere today, found no evidence they asked anyone not to come. In fact, he tweeted multiple times to say they'd have food trucks and big screen TVs outside the arena. So anyway, the city officials in Orlando estimated the crowd at 19,792. So he's only off by about 100,000 people. It's not.
Hello, racist bumper sticker salespeople, guys who've punched a claw machine, people who frequently graffiti their ex's garage door, teens who will have their Ivy League admission rescinded, and other shrieking jackals. I'm here to announce that in 2020, win or lose, I will win the election. Now, as I explained to ABC's George Snuffleupagus, I am now accepting foreign intelligence on my Democratic opponents. Simply call the number below. Operators are standing by. No more stuff on Biden. That treasure chest is full. So many people have made tonight possible, but none more so than Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. You two have done absolutely nothing to stop me, and for that, please accept this statue of a family dog watching the house get robbed.
You said we'd discuss the infrastructure bill.
You're being too pushy. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you,
You're
everyone.
Making us blush.
For more on my second term agenda, please direct your easily seized attention to the Jumbotron.
If you thought President Trump's first term got your pulse pounding, his second term will make your heart explode. National Guard, on speed dial. Nuclear secrets, for sale. Basic human decency, bye-bye. And think Trump can't spell any worse? Think of Glenn. Donald Trump 2020. You're gonna get a rash, Buster.
All right! right! Who wants pig hearts? Not enough to go around to start clawing!
He never speaks with rational presidential views. Where his leader should be noble, the man we have's a brute. In truth, I can't recall hearing Trump speak truth at all. Anyhow, he's lazy, lies and spins, plugs false facts between pompous grins. He bellows crazy prose, his ego's all he knows. For it is lie, 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 diddle, diddle, twixt U.S. Don and each fiddle, our nerves run strong. Lie, 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 his logic's undone. We hear him lie and spin, and we get this feeling within, and we sigh. And we cry, year by year, all we hear from him is lie, 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 diddle, diddle, how he has lasted so brittle, our nerves run strong, lie, 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 till his term is done. Don's made a mockery of this whole democracy. He is snide, gaffes aside, simply unqualified. Yet it's been lie, 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 diddle, diddle, twixt U.S., Don and each fiddle, and ever 'twill be.
Summer of 2019, we conservatives had been forced to the margins of society.
Why is Facebook censoring conservative bloggers such as Diamond and Silk?
We barely controlled three branches of government and could only show our faces at exclusive luxury beach resorts.
Many by now have heard that I was asked to leave a restaurant this weekend where I attempted to have dinner with my family.
But one day, a humble, powerless president stood up and said, no more. This new legislation will assure election integrity by mandating that all of Atlanta share one ballot, and you can only vote if you just left Clint Eastwood's latest white resentment blockbuster. And before you accuse me of limiting minority access to the polls, listen to this cabinet member I selected for no particular reason.
I'm cool with it.
Oh, okay, Ben. As long as you're cool with it. And to my supporters, harass anyone who opposes this bill. Not that anyone will, because Ben said it's fine.
I'm Rachel Maddow, and it's not a manic episode if it's been going on for 3 years. Tonight, we're talking about the president's new voting rights bill with Senator Elizabeth Warren.
This law will disproportionately affect Democrats and minorities like me. And when I said me, I was referring to the Democrat part.
Dad, why are all these people treating you like a loser inner-city kindergarten teacher?
Boys, you're old enough to know about the deep generational wound America has yet to heal. Bigotry against conservatives. I first experienced it in 2011. I was just trying to keep my head down and not ruffle feathers. Barack Obama was born in Kenya. Muhammad Atta was his college roommate, and I once talked Michelle out of strangling a bald eagle. But Obama just couldn't let me live my life.
As you can see, in my long-form birth certificate, I was born in America, contrary to Mr. Trump's assertion.
He was merciless. He made me feel like I was not a rightful citizen of this country.
But conservatives contribute so much to society. Art, science, education. We gutted all that boring shit.
I just wish I showed courage and fought back. I've regretted it even more than telling that waitress we're all set on breadsticks.
Hey, Bick, I want to say congratulations to the United States women's soccer team. A powerful game. It's great when we win at something, isn't it? They beat the Netherlands yesterday to win their fourth World Cup. So Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House today, invited the team to visit the Capitol after Megan Rapinoe, the MVP of the World Cup, last week, she was asked if she'd accept an invitation from President Trump to visit the White House, and this is what she said.
Are you excited about going to the White House?
I'm going to the White House. No.
Well, obviously that got under our president's thin orange skin, so he tweeted, women's soccer player Megan Pino just stated that she is not going to the effing White House if we win. Other than the NBA, which now refuses to call owners owners, please explain that. I just got criminal justice reform passed. Black unemployment is at the lowest level. I don't know what this means. I don't know what this has to do with soccer, but in our country's history, and the poverty index is also best number ever. Leagues and teams love coming to the White House. I am a big fan of the American team in women's soccer, but Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job.
But you're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, damn, it's 7 a.m. Say it in the street, that's a knockout. But you say it in a tweet, that's a cop-out. And I'm just like, hey, are you okay? And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned a lesson that's stressing and obsessing about somebody else is no fun. And snakes and stones never broke my bones, so just making that sign must have taken all night. You just need to take several seats and then try to restore the peace and control your urges to scream about all the people you hate. Cause shade never made anybody less gay, so who are killing it, but we figured you out. We all know now, we all got crowns. You need to calm down. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. You need to calm down.
Trump's campaign team has come up with a diabolical way to make money. Every time the president says or tweets something crazy, it causes a surge in online activity because people want to know what he said. So whenever that happens, the campaign floods the web with ads right at those moments to encourage his supporters to buy MAGA merchandise. Basically, they've figured out a way to monetize stupid, which is kind of smart, really. But Trump has been raking it in since he announced his intent to be reelected. They made almost $25 million the day after his pep rally. And there's plenty of exciting new merchandise for sale, including this incredible piece of shirt. This is not the cover of a Kid Rock album. That is our president. Let's put that up on the wall so we can really take it in, okay? All right, let me show you Let me show you what we have over here, because this is really something special. This is, you can see the President of the United States perched atop a runaway train, wearing what appears to be a championship wrestling belt with machine gun bandoliers across his chest. There's a large, unexplained explosion behind him to symbolize America. And, okay, so up there you see a helicopter. Seems to be firing missiles at a bald eagle. The bald eagle is also carrying a weapon of some kind, as eagles do. And then down here, honestly, down here, there's a little blue bird just kind of hanging out. I don't know if that's for Twitter or he's planning to deep fry it and eat it for breakfast, but there's the bird. And then up here, you see there's a flying saucer, a UFO, which means we need to send in the Space Force. And obviously, this shirt is available in tank top, too. So.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping, though. Don't catch you slipping, though. Look what I'm whipping, though.
In June of 1775, the Continental Congress created a unified army out of the revolutionary forces encamped around Boston and New York, and named after the great George Washington, Commander-in-Chief. The Continental Army suffered a bitter winter of Valley Forge, found glory across the waters of the Delaware, and seized victory from Cornwallis of Yorktown. Our army manned the airports. It ran the ramparts. It took over the airports. It did everything it had to do. And at Fort McHenry, under the rocket's red glare, it had nothing but victory.
Airplanes didn't exist until 1903.
The world's most famous cyberbully, Donald Trump, I don't know if you heard, suffered a legal setback today. A federal appeals court this morning ruled that the President of the United States cannot block his critics on Twitter. He has to open his account to everyone. It's historic because this is the first time a federal court has ever ruled that a president's skin is legally too thin. Trump, as you probably know, has blocked a lot of accounts, including Stephen King, Chrissy Teigen, and Rosie O'Donnell, all of which he had to unblock because of this case. A spokesman for the Justice Department said they're disappointed in the decision. They're exploring possible next steps, which is, that's a good, seems like a good use of time. Maybe he can get the crowd at his next rally to chant, block her up, and get this really going. President was up bright and early, rubbishing one of his critics today, the British ambassador to the United States. Trump is upset because the ambassador sent what were supposed to be secret government cables to England, which got leaked, in which he described our president as, among other things, inept, insecure, incompetent, and said his career could end in disgrace, which I don't know that they needed a secret cable to determine that. It seems like they could just watch any press conference. But at 7:48 a.m., Trump fired back. He wrote, "The wacky ambassador that the U.K. foisted upon the United States is not someone we are thrilled with. A very stupid guy." Then later, "I don't know the ambassador, but have been told he is a pompous fool." The best thing is, I didn't even know the ambassador had written this stuff about him until he tweeted about it. So thank you for the heads up.
"We had a lot of rain. I stood in the rain. The teleprompter went out, so I had... Yeah, the teleprompter went out. It kept going on, and then at the end, it just went out. It went kaput. So I could have said, and actually right in the middle of that sentence, it went out. And that's not a good feeling when you're standing in front of millions and millions of people on television, and I don't know what the final count was, but that went all the way back to the Washington Monument. And I guess the rain knocked out the teleprompter. So, but no, it's not that. I knew the speech very well, so I was able to do it without a teleprompter. But the teleprompter did go out. And it was actually hard to look at anyway because it was rain all over it."
He defended himself and said that he knew the speech very well, even without the teleprompter, which would mean that the teleprompter was a formality and he actually meant to say that the Continental Army took over the airports in 1775.
"An internal report prepared by the Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General and obtained by NBC News counters the statement by DHS Acting Secretary Kevin McAleenan on Friday that news stories of poor conditions for children at border stations were unsubstantiated. Inspectors highlighted intense overcrowding during a May 7th tour of a border station in El Paso, noting only four showers available for almost 800 migrants, more than half of whom were being held outside. Inside, the report said a cell meant for a maximum of 35 held 155 adult males with only one toilet and sink, with temperatures in the cells reaching more than 80 degrees.
What happened on Friday was that Acting Secretary Kevin McAleenan said that those reports were unsubstantiated that we were talking about last week, Willie. He said that those were all through the eyes of lawyers who went into these facilities, and they basically overblew what they saw. But now this report that Jacob and I obtained shows that as early as May 7th, DHS Inspector General, their own watchdog, set off red flags internally that warned about some of these very same conditions that those lawyers found, the same conditions that Kevin McAleenan said were unsubstantiated. In the same sector, that's that El Paso sector of Texas, they saw children who were wearing the same clothes. They saw that overcrowding you mentioned. They even said it got to the point that guards, CBP personnel, started to arm themselves in areas that they would not normally carry guns because they feared riots. That is the point that this was already at months ago.
Amid the border crisis, searing images surfacing today, showing what detention facilities look like through the eyes of the kids who are kept there. A social worker obtaining pictures drawn by a 10 and 11-year-old children recently released from Border Patrol custody. This picture showing kids in cages, lying under blankets, without beds. Another showing kids in a cage with sad faces as people with what appear to be guns standing nearby. So kids in cages with guns standing nearby. This is what these kids are drawing. A third drawing showing an empty cell with two toilets. And then Donald Trump tweeting late today this: if illegal immigrants are unhappy with the conditions in the quickly built or refitted detention centers, just tell them not to come.
Got new reporting from NBC News detailing how migrant children held in a border station in Yuma, Arizona, not only told government investigators about unsanitary conditions, but also sexual assault and retaliation by border agents.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.